Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Coming up on the Under Center podcast, why did Kyle Long walk away from the Bears? And why will he never wear another NFL jersey? Find out next.
What it means to me to be a Chicago Bear, it's an easy question. It means everything to me.
It means rich tradition, black and blue division, defense, legends, linebackers.
The history of it. I mean, I'm a big history guy, so understanding this was one of the first franchises just kind of blows my mind, honestly, that I was able to be a part of that.
The city, just the nostalgia of playing for a storied franchise, the storied franchise of the running back position with guys like Gale Sayers and Walter Payton and being able to follow in those footsteps. So being a Bear means everything.
I mean, what more can you say?
Welcome into the Under Center podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes. The Under Center podcast is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Union Local 281, proud sponsor of our pods on Under Center and serving Chicagoland for over 100 years. I had a lot of great interviews on Radio Row. I think that I say this without offending, or at least trying to offend, everyone else that we talked to, because we talked to a lot of great people during Super Bowl week and we had a lot of cool conversations. This one is the one. The sit down with Kyle Long is incredible and I'm looking forward to you hearing it. To give you a little bit of background on what went down here, we were initially talking to Jay Glazer, and the Jay Glazer podcast will be coming up later on this offseason. And we were talking to Jay about some of the really cool things that he was doing for vets and talking about his training, MMA stuff with players and all that stuff. And Kyle Long, who Jay has known since he was a baby, came and surprised him, and we had a good time talking with both of those guys. But then Jay had to move on because he was doing other interviews throughout the day. And I got Kyle one-on-one. And I've known Kyle since he was drafted by the Bears. I've always liked him. I love his work that he's done on Twitch. I think that he, if he decides that he wants to do this media thing, that he's going to be a star at it. And I really enjoy talking with him. We got into a lot of stuff. His football career, for sure. We also talked about baseball. And if you're a White Sox fan, you definitely want to stick around, because if you didn't know, Kyle Long was drafted by the White Sox. He is a White Sox. And we talked about that along with everything else. So I don't want to hold this up any further than it needs to be. This was an incredible interview. It's very raw. You're going to hear some of that raw emotion. You're going to hear Kyle talking about a lot of different things as it has to do with deciding to walk away from football and what our guy from the Football After Show, Olin Kreutz, did to help him out of that. This is Kyle Long on the Under Center podcast. How are you, my man?
I have never been clearer, never been more interested in what's to come, and never been more open to anything that's coming to me.
I don't want to try and drag you into a bad place, but I want to focus a little bit on retirement before I get to some of the fun stuff.
Retirement's fun.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. Like, was there a moment where you said, you know what, I think I'm out? Like, where it became clear to you that this is not something that you wanted to do?
It became clear to me in practices against Akeem when we used to never dial back. And Akeem is a freak show, and he was a great guy when we played together. And towards the end of my career, he would dial it back as not to embarrass me.
Oh.
In practice.
For a prideful guy, that's got to hurt a little bit.
And you can put your pride aside in football, and once you do that, that's when you know. And the writing was on the wall. I mean, there was no secret there. I wasn't able to fulfill my end of the bargain. Now, yeah, I mean, that's a crappy place to be as a football player, but the beautiful thing is football is not our life, and we are not defined by the game of football. It's a tremendous stepping stone and platform with which we can advance our lives, and I feel like I've done that to the best of my ability, and now it's on to the next, whatever that is. It's the next NFL draft for me. I'm going to be a rookie in something else, and I want to be a rookie Pro Bowler in it.
I feel like you handle things really well, because there would have been a lot of other guys that would have been embittered by finishing a game healthy and then being put on IR. How did you connect those dots and say, okay, they've given me the answer to the test, and not let it embitter you?
We've all been in the relationship where the hints and the signs are clear, not red flags, but the communication is clear and honest, and that's all you can ask for in a relationship. So I wasn't the ex-boyfriend that stuck around and said, but I can be better.
I can change.
I love you. That wasn't me. I love you, but I love you so much I'm going to leave you alone. And maybe I'll come back in another capacity one day. And I understand that Nagy and Pace and I have had that conversation in person. I wasn't in the building from the day I got put on IR until after the season ended. I didn't come back to the building.
How hard was that for you? Because that you're now...
I was a guy that was in the building in April,
I know,
March, when nobody else was there. I liked hanging out there. So my destination was now not available to me. That was a weird time for me. Especially watching the games, not being in the meetings, not being able to help the young guys. Rashad Coward, when he came in to fill in for me, I'm not in the building now, and he's a starter. I can't help him. That's a helpless feeling. But now I'm removed from it. It wasn't on me. I did my part. I rest easy now.
A lot of Bears fans were happy to hear you say that you wouldn't put on another uniform. Why was that important for you to say and to tell Bears fans?
Well, growing up in my house, there's one jersey I saw on the wall. 75, silver and black. One jersey. There was no other jersey. The only other jerseys were Pro Bowl jerseys and a friggin' gold jacket. So for me, loyalty, which I've alluded to a few times in this conversation, is everything. And you'll never see me wear another jersey, ever. Because they drafted me, they re-signed me, and they didn't fire me when I got hurt 4 years in a row. That's loyalty in an unloyal business.
That's true.
So they did right by me, and I'm going to do right by them.
It's true. So what happens next? Like, once you've made up your mind, you're done playing, you've made peace with the Bears, where does your mind go in trying to figure out what's next? Because for football, you're probably middle-aged. You're not even old. For life, you're super young. So what goes into determining what happens for you next?
I think leaning on the folks in my house is big. If that's the avenue I want to go, you know, I could take up snowboarding and be in Colorado next week, but I don't know if that's what I want to do. So starting next week in Chicago after the Super Bowl, I'm going to start shadowing and trying to get as much experience as I can in the media field. You know, I'll be with Cap next week, and that'll be fun. And he's a great energy guy, as you know, and he's somebody who knows the Chicago market as well as anybody.
100%.
So I'm looking forward to getting under his wing and, you know, riding the coattails of some tremendously talented folks like yourself and people in Chicago that have been staples to me in my 7 years in the league. Like, one thing I have not shied away from is interactions with the media. And I try to do my best to be respectful and all that stuff. And I know that that's the media's job, too, is to do their job while remaining that level of respect. You never want to cross boundaries, whatever. And I think the more I'm in the media role on this side of the lines, I'll have an understanding of what those boundaries look like. Because as a player, everything just pisses you off. But as a media member, you want to use your head.
sometimes. I mean, look, I work with four guys that on Sundays.
You talk about the post-game crew.
Yeah. They're incredible.
One of my favorite people in TV right now is Olin Cruz.
How can he not be? He
reminds me of my dad.
Really? How so?
As a man.
No doubt.
So, like, if you were to explain Olin to people that don't know him, he's a great man. He's brutally honest. And if you treat him well, he's going to treat you well. What more can you ask from a dude? And he knows football better than anybody.
It's so great to be able to talk with him. And here's what I figured out. I'm someone who's covered the NFL for a long time. I've been around the game. I know some stuff. So if it's an average person, they can lean on me for my quote-unquote expertise. The thing that I figured out over the last 4 years watching games with those guys is the difference between someone like me and someone like you is that if you give me a replay, I can tell you what happened. You're able to tell me in real time. And this is what's going on where Olin and Matt Forte are explaining to me.
While the play is still going on.
Yeah, they're like, oh, well, this is going to be a terrible play because this guy was supposed to block down and he didn't. And you're like, oh. So, and on the replay, I'm like, oh, I got it. I see
you
where it went
my
wrong.
Age in football years as a young guy, and you couldn't be more right. Because I could still sit in meetings for the next 20 years and learn about football, because I started when I was 17. I didn't know X's and O's. I knew how to come off the ball and hit people. That's it. And when I got to the league, it was my introduction to learning football. Anybody can put their hand in the dirt and hit the guy across from them. But to really conceptualize and understand what we're trying to get done, Olin has a great understanding of that. The other thing I forgot to say about Olin, and I haven't told anybody this, which just gives me chills. When I got put on IR, there's a few people that reached out to me, a few teammates, a lot of former teammates. Olin hit me up and he said, come train with me. He gave me a destination. And I was in a rough spot, but I had a spot to go in the mornings and work out.
How important was that for you?
I mean, honestly, football is my life. Olin gave me an opportunity to wean myself off of it.
To get that competitiveness, the physical.
And be around guys that he knows. You go in there and it's MMA guys and it's Olin. Like, it doesn't get more rad than that group of guys. And for him to open his gym to me, and while briefly and before I, you know, it was before I decided to go on a vacation. I was with Olin for 2-3 weeks, and my God, I don't know what I'd be doing right now if I didn't have a place like that to go to. And, you know, I could. When I get back to Chicago, I'm going to try to roll back in there. But I've been gone for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, so he might not let me back in.
Well, you're going to pay a penalty.
Yes.
Because that's how
Olin
rolls.
It just speaks to the man that he is. And he feels what I was going through.
He does. You know what it reminds me a lot of? It reminds me, like, Olin, he's giving people a destination, as you say, which I think is a really good way to talk about it. It reminds me of someone who is, and this is a bad, bad thing, like running like a halfway house. And Olin is there to help transition.
Which I've been to as well.
I know.
And it's similar.
And that is trying to help you transition in the most positive way possible. That outlet is really important. I've been debating whether I can steel myself to go and train with Olin. Like, I've been thinking about it a lot.
You'd be surprised at the amount. You think you're going to train with Olin, you're just going to be blown out by the end of the day. That is not the case. He is as smart and, like, I don't want to say science-backed, because if I told him he was a scientist, he would probably slap me in the head. He just understands the game. He understands our bodies. And, I mean, he was a pro, so he – in terms of his body, he's in tune with that, and he can probably make everybody feel better with the things he – I never went in there and felt like I was just blown out of the frame. I went in there and got great workouts in. It would take 40 minutes. We'd box. We'd do whatever, and I felt amazing walking out of there. And that's a priceless feeling when you're in a crappy time.
You can say shitty. It's a podcast.
When you're in a shitty time in your life, there's nothing better than somebody without being asked reaching down and pulling you out of the mud.
I remember when you first started, and I remember watching training camp practices and going, Kyle's got very bad technique, but he's grown man strong. And I remember seeing you just kind of toss guys, just like, huh. And I was like, oh, my God, like he can do a lot of stuff. Was there a point where you felt like the technique matched the physicality?
Yeah. My third year training camp, I was as dialed in as you would ever be. I mean, I was bulletproof. And they moved me to tackle Wednesday, week one. They cut my best friend, Jordan Mills. This is the NFL. This is the kind of shit you do with the NFL.
I talked to Jordan a few weeks ago. I was so very happy to
Jordan
talk with him.
Mills. They put me at tackle to do my best friend's job. But I was as dialed in from a technique standpoint, and I had to start from square one, week one, at tackle. But, yeah, who knows? How'd I stand a guard? Who knows? But I played tackle. I got Pro Bowls at two positions now. So my technique has always been so bad, like you talked about. And it was one of those things my dad always said, technique, hands, technique. And I didn't really look. I said, look, I'm kicking these dudes' asses, Dad. Like, you must be wrong. And then year five, you're like, my body hurts. And he's like, why? And I'm like, my body hurts. Bad technique.
Fire sprinklers don't work without water. Get your building's fire pump tested ASAP. Go to sprinklerfitterschicago.org or call 708-597-1800. Sprinkler Fitters Union Local 281, protecting Chicagoland for over 100 years.
It's got to be rough when your dad is the perfect like Venn diagram of physicality and technique.
You talk to players that played against him, and the first thing that they say isn't he was the most violent. They say he had the best technique. But we also know him as a Duke Nukem-looking savage motherfucker.
You can say it. We can bleep it. It's totally fine.
But, yeah, so growing up with him, you better listen.
How did this Twitch stuff start?
I've always been into games. I was diagnosed ADD, ADHD as a kid. You know, they had me on Ritalin and stuff, and that was before I got into sports as a middle schooler, really. And I really enjoyed sports when that came along, and that got me out of feeling wired. And I never did well in school because I couldn't pay attention, you know, and I thought I was a dumb kid because of that. And that's a tough spot to be. But as I got into middle school, I got into computer gaming, and I met a lot of people that didn't know who I was. I didn't know who they were, but we enjoyed playing together. And as I've gotten older, I said, how can I turn this into something that's productive, and how can I help kids who are possibly in the same situation that I've been in? And video games, PC gaming in particular, and the live streaming aspect teaches you so much about production, teaches you about content creation.
Problem solving.
When I'm in there solo and I have a camera, a boom, three monitors, and I've got to switch scenes and all this stuff, that's hard to do. But I have help from people with that. And the learning curve has been awesome. And I feel like my brain gets bigger as I learn more stuff. You know, if you get exposed to something and you get a new hobby, like if you learn how to tie a new navel knot, you'd be like, I learned that today. I learned something new. It's the same thing with computer gaming. And it kind of put me at ease for a long time. And still does.
You get the reaction that you've gotten when you were doing the Sunday night game. We were all watching. Like, we were watching.
You guys really watched
No,
that?
No bullshit. We were in the green room watching because I said, guys, we need to check out what Kyle's doing. So our producers put the feed up in the green room. So we did like a split screen, and we were watching side by side. I was like, this is phenomenal because we do a version of it. So we do what's called the sidecast. So during the third quarter, basically we're asking people to be on their phone and watch us while they're watching the game.
Yes.
You're doing it like on the screen. So we do a version of it. And I said,
I can only interject when they stop talking.
Correct. So like I said, Kyle's really killing this. And the guys all agreed. They were like, it was so successful that Alex said to me, he goes, could we do that? Like, he's like, we should talk with Kyle because we should I would love to do that. So you're already innovating, man. Like, and that's why I told I reached out to you immediately, because the guys were so impressed with what you were doing.
Well, you know what? It's super cool, the opportunities that football has afforded me and the tremendous platform that we're given by being Chicago athletes. When I got drafted by Chicago, I remember my brother and my dad, you know, we weren't in New York, we were in Virginia at our house, and I didn't expect to go in the first round at all. The only person who knew I was my dad, because of his connections. And he said, you know, we'll just watch the first round because, you know, all your buddies are getting drafted. Deion Jordan, all these guys that I played with. And when I got the call from a 312, my dad was surprised because he knew the Colts were going to pick me next. He didn't know the Bears were going to pick me. And he was like, Chicago? I was so lucky to get drafted by Chicago. And that's why I'm only going to wear one jersey. You don't want to piss in the pool. You ain't going to get invited back to the barbecue.
Well, there's no doubt about
and
that.
And the food is good.
It is very good. you're living proof of that. Listen, I can't let you go without you helping me work through this, because my post-career thing for you is to put you back on the White Sox. So let's talk about this.
Tommy John surgery, first off.
So you have to have it, or you already had it?
I have to have it. And okay. If I get that, I can throw 100 then.
Well, I mean, it is true that guys are coming back stronger.
Yeah.
You laugh, but guys are coming back stronger.
Yeah.
I was there. I read the draft profile. I talked to the people at White Sox and said that there was a chance, a real chance, that you would be a major league pitcher. Do you ever even think about it?
Every day.
What do you think about?
What it would be like. Where I'd be living, would I be with the White Sox still, would I have a World Series, you know, would they let a pitcher partake in the home run derby? Just ludicrous shit like that, that they would all laugh in my face if I said it in front of them.
Okay, so let's.
But I'm on a softball team in Buffalo Grove. Have been for 2 years. So Bears fans, you're in on that now.
So that's terrifying.
And we have two championship plaques. They sit in the background of my Twitch stream. I don't know if you can read it, but Buffalo Grove Men's League. I was Ricky on my team. Ricky could hit the shit out of the softball.
All right, so I just want to let you know that in my mind, because we've talked about this on Twitter, people don't even realize. They think that you're just Kyle the football player. And I'm like, Kyle used to be a hell of a baseball player.
Yeah, but I'm just, as you know, we're just dudes who happen to be talented in certain things. Like, Matt Forte is one of the nicest folks in the world. But you meet him and you'd be like, this is one of the most premierly talented human beings on the face of the earth. Like, but he's such a great guy. He's not a football player. He's a great guy that can play football well.
You know what kills me about Forte? When you see him, like, people think, oh, running back, small.
He's huge.
He's a huge guy.
Diesel.
And he is ready for whatever.
You know, Matt, on the back of his shirt that he wore every day at Hallis Hall, it said workhorse.
It's
and
true.
That is true.
It's great. I have a great collection of guys that I do shows with, and they love you. Alex, Lance, Olin and Matt, they absolutely love
you. I was
lucky
to cross paths with Lance on the Bears briefly, and Peanut. I never got to play with Alex or Olin, but those guys obviously are heavily involved with the team, and it's been a pleasure getting to know and strengthen the friendships I have with former teammates.
Kyle, I appreciate your time, man.
This is great, Lawrence.
Yeah, man. And look, if you're looking for a radio guy to shadow.
No doubt.
And I'm doing a lot more TV stuff over there, so you'll see me around NBC Great. Sports Chicago. But feel free. Don't feel like you don't have another destination. Like, if you want to come and hang out, just come hang out.
Yeah, like, I feel at home here, you know?
You should. And I've been seeing, like, this is – your transition into this is going to be easy. And it's not because you're Howie's son. It's because you're Kyle Long.
I appreciate it.
Okay? So don't ever forget that aspect of it, that it's not just you're famous because of who your dad is.
Yeah.
You've put in the work to make yourself, make your own
path. That's all you can ask of yourself, right? Like, just carve out your own path. And I'm never going to be Howie Long. I know that. Chris knows that. no matter how many people Chris helps, no matter how many Super Bowls he wins, no matter how many game checks he gives up, he ain't gonna have a gold jacket. And I'll never have a flat top.
But Chris might
be the best versions of ourselves.
Chris might get a Nobel Peace Prize.
You know what? Chris, Gandhi Long?
Yeah.
He's incredible.
Water Boys?
This guy, Chris, lives it.
He does. He walks it, he talks it, and he's a really great example of how to do it the right way.
To get him on the show.
We're working on it.
He is so cool and so smart.
It's not shocking. I mean, considering how you guys roll, it's not shocking at all.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with being Kyle Long.
He's
pretty great.
I hated it for a while because of the things you spoke about. I always thought, I'm just Howie's kid. Everybody, you know, I run into some people here and they're like, Howie. And I'm like, it's okay. But that's why I wore 75, because I take pride in that. That number on the back of my jersey, the name on the back of my jersey. It's a legacy. But I can be my own man, too, and still have respect from where I came from.
It's the truth. Thank you, sir,
Thanks,
for doing
man.
This.
Appreciate it.
I told you that interview was incredible. I don't lie to you. That's why we wanted to take our time and let it sit on its own, and we wanted to get the Super Bowl out of the way so that you could hear a raw, unfiltered Kyle Long talk about everything. A big thank you to Kyle for being generous with his time. A thank you to everyone involved in the production of this. Our photog, Steve, was great on the video side of it. Cam Ellis, our guy Eric Strobel, who's in charge of all of our Bears content, and Kyle himself for coming and hanging out with us. If you like this interview, there's a lot more from our Super Bowl week that you can go back and check out, starting with episode 298, and there's going to be more. We still have more stuff that we haven't even gotten to. But I appreciate you listening to this. So do us a favor, give us 5 stars, write a 1-sentence review about how much you loved this interview. Because I'll tell you, as someone who's done this for a really long time, this is one of my favorite interviews that I've ever done. It was that good. Thanks for listening. I'm Lawrence Holmes. We'll catch you on the Under Center podcast next week.